Hey, well, yeah, my microphone is on. I can't hear myself think for the sound of this rocket in my earballs there, Michael Catherwood. My name is Mark Tuohy. I'm sitting in for Rush Meenair on The Rush. It is 4:05 p.m., and that means, well, it's a Friday. Combine those two facts together. It must be time for another episode of Entertainment Court with the one and only Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
I am. We are all risen in the courtroom, Judge Crouch. Ben Harrison is here with me alongside as your jury. May we be seated? Shall you proceed? What's the first case, sir?
You may be seated. The first case involves Avril Lavigne. So at the Junos, we probably all heard this story. She was presenting the Indo-Canadian musician A.P. Dillon perform Junos, making a speech when a page topless and danced around for a little bit before Avril things to the protester that I can't say on the radio, essentially just saying, get off the stage. So my question to you is, should Avril Lavigne have shared the stage with the protester looking for attention, or did she do the right thing?
First off, no one's ever done this anytime that I'm speaking. So if somebody wants to do this while I'm speaking, it would be an interesting test of how I would respond to it. And I'm willing to do that experiment because I'm a man of science. That said, I think Avril Lavigne handled it pretty well. I don't think you don't put up with that kind of an interruption. It's your show. The spotlight is being shone on the introducer and the artist in question, not some nutcase who jumps up on the stage. She's lucky she didn't get tackled and dragged off in handcuffs, if you ask me.
I'm a lifelong Avril Lavigne fan. I grew up with Avril Lavigne.
You're a skater boy.
Yeah. And I would have said, see you later, boy, but in this case, girl, to this protester, because it's just not the place to do it. I think Avril Lavigne could have just let security handle it. She didn't even have to say what she said to the protester. But in this case, she handled it just fine.
I agree with you both. Avril Lavigne has no responsibility to share the stage with anyone not of her own choosing. Nude stage diving may have been quaint in 1974 when a streaker dashed across the stage at the Oscars, prompting David Niven to say, "Isn't it always fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off his clothes and showing his shortcomings?" Avril Lavigne wasn't quite as witty as that because 1974 was a long time ago before performers were routinely pelted with objects thrown by unruly audiences, had stage crashers attacking them, or movie stars slapping them in the face because they didn't like a particular joke. If you want a platform to spread your message, earn your platform. And anyway, these days, more people would likely see your protest if you posted it on TikTok than rushed the stage at the Junos. And that is my verdict.
Well, in this case, I think justice is served. As the juror, I'm pleased with this so far. You might be wrong next, though, Judge Krause. What's the next case?
I'm never wrong. So the next case, again, we've probably seen the clip by now. Hugh Grant and Ashley Graham on the red carpet just before the Oscars. Ashley Graham asked him a number of questions like, what's your favorite thing about coming to the Oscars? And he stares at her for about 7 seconds, ums and ahs a little bit, and then says, it's fascinating. And then it gets worse from there. He really just didn't want to be there. He didn't want to answer the questions. So my question to you, and this is the question that's been raging online all week, was Hugh Grant rude to Ashley Graham, or was he just being a professional British person, a little bit sarcastic, a little bit rebellious, and playing Hugh Grant?
Interesting. You know, I'd heard about this episode on the radio, and then I saw a clip of an interview. I'm not savvy enough to recognize the interviewer, but I recognized mm-hmm. Hugh Grant, and it didn't really seem to live up to its billing. So, but in this case, I think I'm going to I would convict both of them because I think the interviewer did a lousy job answering questions. I don't think Hugh Grant was rude, but if you're not going to play the game of being on the red carpet, don't walk down on the red carpet. I'm sure there's a side door.
Yeah, I think this was Hugh Grant being Hugh Grant. At the end of the day, he's always kind of had this personality, this persona of being the awkward British guy, and he was just being who he is. I think that some of the questions, if I was there, I probably would have been a little bit more participatory in my answers, but at the end of the day, I can't fault him.
You should have been there. Next year, you on the red carpet.
I am all on Team Grant for this one. I've done thousands of celebrity interviews and for sure have asked dumb questions along the way. It happens. One of the things, though, I've learned is that if you ask a stupid question, you're going to get stupid answers. But I don't blame Ashley Graham for the awkwardness of the interview. I blame whoever put her on a red carpet on national television without the benefit of preparation or, at the very least, a researcher in her ear feeding her interesting tidbits about the people that she was speaking to. She isn't a journalist. She isn't an interviewer. And I have a feeling she wasn't even completely sure who Hugh Grant was. She was gracious with his behavior, but was left twisting in the wind by her producers. As for Grant's answers, I loved it. For my money, it was one of the best moments of the night. He refused to play along with the fluffy, insincere vibe that rules the red carpet and injected a bit of edge and a bit of humor in the face of overwhelming superficiality. It was authentic, but it wasn't as great as Robert Smith when he was walking the red carpet for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His band, The Cure, was being inducted, and he was asked by a hyped-up red carpet interviewer, "Are you as excited as I am?" And he replied, "By the sounds of it, no." And that is my verdict.
You said something that as we were talking about this, I was wondering in my head, because I'm trying to replay the interview in my mind, and I was just wondering, like, was it possible she didn't know who this was?
Because absolutely, 100%. I will guarantee you she's never seen Notting Hill. She's had no idea who she was talking to.
We've got 2 minutes left, Judge Krause. That's enough time for a perfunctory justice. What's the next case?
Okay, so a journalist named Lachlan Marquet tweeted earlier this week, "The tragedy of the White Stripes is how great they would have been with a half-decent drummer. I'm sorry, Meg White was terrible, and no band is better off for having a crappy drummer." He got beaten up online for that. So my question to you is, what is more important, a player with chops or a player with a lot of soul and a lot of feel?
Okay, I am going to plead the fifth here because I don't really know any of the people here. I know All Jack right. White. I've heard of the White Stripes. But I would say if you can't show up and perform, if you don't have the technical capability, it doesn't matter how much feel you have. But so I'm going to say you got to have chops.
Richard, you've been hitting the nostalgia button for me all day today between Avril Lavigne and the White Stripes. Those were two groups, two artists that I grew up with. Meg White is one of my favorite drummers of all time. I was a drummer in high school. And what's so interesting is to see the way that the tables have turned. I remember being in high school and people would always say, "Oh, Meg White's not a great drummer." But I knew deep down that she was. So to see all of these artists come out in support of her is amazing. It's all about the soul. It's all about the feeling. The chops come later.
I'm all in with that answer. I'm glad this guy got metaphorically beaten up online. Imagine the snide sense of self-importance that must hang over this guy like a shroud. The very idea that Meg White, one half of the greatest rock duos of all time, didn't carry her weight, that she wasn't good enough, is like saying a BLT tastes just as good without the bacon. Does she have the elegance of Charlie Watts or the dexterity of John Bonham or the groove of Tony Thompson? At times she had all those things, but more importantly, she was always herself. Like the others I mentioned earlier, her sound is unmistakable, and more than that, it rocks really hard. I think we place way too much emphasis on quote-unquote skill in rock and roll. Sure, I like a studied guitar or drum solo as much as anybody, but I will always prefer the gut punch playing of someone who really means it, and Meg always meant it, and that was music to my ears, and that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
But notice of appeal, the question before the court was not whether she had the chops, because you both argued that she had the chops and the feel. The question was, if she doesn't have the chops, is the feel enough? And I said, no, you got to be able to do the job and have the feel. When we come back, one mayoral candidate wants to upload Toronto's highways. I say, why stop there?